fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Stretch it out. Warm up for your day with some exercises for your brain. Hey, don't want to pull a cerebellum. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
And the pitch is lined down the right field line. It is a base hit going to the right field corner. Extra bases. Ellsbury scores. Jeter to second with a double. It is a ribby double for the captain. And the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
Derek Jeter will take the field tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays need miraculous results over the next couple weeks just to get back in a logical playoff discussion. But the Yankees need to win also. They're only 2.5 games ahead of the Blue Jays. They've got 30 games left. The Jays have 29. It all kicks off tonight, Rogers Center. Good morning, y'all. It's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady and George Russick, who has ably, capably, and enjoyably for 11 or 12 listeners that have let us know filled in in the process. What happens next week? Now, next week, you said you're doing some Tim and Sid stuff.
Well, I get the
on Monday.
I get to feel the Twitter heat on Monday when I fill in for Tim and Sid, saying, "Hey, you're not Tim and Sid."
No, I'm not.
1-4 on TV. Right. Tune in Sportsnet 360.
Perfectly fine. That's good advice for people. Yeah, Blue Jays will have Labor Day off. We just talked to John Morosi, and he said the Yankees don't feel very in it. As far as he's concerned, these are to see anybody but Detroit or Seattle now in that second spot. It's one or the other would be shocking. Even with his praise for Terry Francona, I got to package that tape and send it off to Mike Wilner when he describes that Terry Francona actually makes his players better. I didn't think a manager knew how to do that. That's incredible that a manager could make players play at a higher level. Joe Maddon does it every year.
John Gibbons can make this team go 23-6.
Could he make that happen? Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I enjoyed our discussion last hour about the Yankees and where they go, because there are absolutely two ways to look at it. One is they'll always be able to spend their way out of trouble. This is the old era NHL in the late 90s, early 2000s, when, let's face it, teams like the Avalanche, the Stars, the Red Wings, the Rangers, to some extent the Leafs.
Yeah.
First-round pick, first-round schmick. We'll trade it every year for a veteran player. We'll move it every single time to get a veteran player that'll help us into the playoffs. Now, you can't do that with picks in Major League Baseball, but the concept is we don't need to develop quite as many young players, and they haven't done a very good job of it, period. We will just simply go out and look at the Band-Aids, I'd call them, that they, even since mid-June, George, they've put on their team with, you add them up. I mean, Kelly Johnson, Chase Headley, Brandon McCarthy, Martin Prado, Stephen Drew. Stephen Drew sat out, got 21 games in for the Red Sox, and then presto, waived, and the Yankees ended up picking. They didn't even need or want Alfonso Soriano anymore.
Yeah, and are they going to get a little more financial flexibility, obviously, when Derek Jeter retires? But, Greg, these changed rules, and as well in prospects, that you can't go there and spend all this X amount of dollars on prospect. The rules have changed, so teams like the Yankees and Red Sox can overspend on prospects to bring those guys up as well.
There's not that much flex because you're paying A-Rod again next year, okay? That's going to count against you. They don't mind. The Steinbrenners don't seem to mind so much going into the luxury tax. Their TV deal alone with the YES Network covers their entire payroll for the year, plus more. But paying, Carlos Beltran, they're going to keep paying Ellsbury and getting value for him. And then on and on from there. CC Sabathia may never throw another meaningful pitch in his career, and they have to pay him $45 million over the next 2 years, no matter what.
Would you be shocked, though, if the Yankees go out there and do something in the offseason and then turn back into a sort of contender in this division next season?
You're saying if they're the team that signs a Max Scherzer, if they're the team that signs, I would. A player like Colby Rasmus is probably, he's not going to have a great deal on his hands, but he's probably a bit disappointed. There's Brett Gardner and Jacoby Ellsbury are signed for the long term, and they're both effective players, and they're both two of the youngest Yankee players that mean anything on that team.
Obviously, it'd be a huge long shot, but getting a guy like Lester and Scherzer would certainly shore up a lot that ails the New York Yankees.
Why do you have to make the rich richer?
But if they get those guys, bam, instant contender
you're
again.
You're being a sports one percenter. I do not like that. I would not vote for you in any election year. We're very pleased to welcome in award-winning columnist for USA Today, contributor to ABC's Good Morning America. She was on this morning, as a matter of fact. Christine Brennan rejoins us on Brady and Walker. Thanks for making time to come on the show this morning, Christine. We appreciate
it. Oh, Greg, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How many games is Northwestern going to win this year?
Well, I hope a lot.
I looked at the standings and I saw Rutgers in the Big Ten. That's something we'll never quite get used to. Rutgers.
Well, Maryland, although the kind of the secret thing for Big Ten alums, and there are millions around the country and the continent and what have you, is that to be able to go to watch their team play at Rutgers or Maryland is something I think that those folks, everyone who's all jarred by this, which I agree, it is jarring. Boy, oh boy, you can imagine that Maryland Stadium mostly full of Michigan people, you know. And I think that's actually kind of a fun thought for a lot of Big Ten alums on the East Coast.
Oh, 100%. Christine Brennan's our guest. So yesterday, a lot of, I'll put it this way, and I want to get your read on it. Applause for Roger Goodell, but is it sort of the polite golf clap applause in that there's some people questioning that he only did this because the PR backlash and the moral proper backlash was so significant for the NFL that they really didn't have any choice here. That said, time was taken, measured time, to enact this new domestic violence policy to the owners.
Exactly, Greg. You know, I guess I don't really care how they got there. They got there. Frankly, in all my years of covering sports, I don't remember, well, let's put it this way, it's very few things that happen this quick. Roger Goodell said in his very long, and I mean this was a long, long letter to all the clubs. I was able to receive it and get a chance to look at it right as it was being sent out, and able to tweet about it and what have you. And this was stunning. I mean, to me, what Roger Goodell was saying was, I get it. I didn't get it right. I hear you. The criticism matters. And we are changing immediately. That doesn't happen every day. And actually, we've seen it now twice. We saw it with the NBA, with the new commissioner, Adam Silver, on the Donald Sterling thing, threw the book at him, you know, just throw the bomb out. Old school, you know, kind of commissionership. And now here's Roger Goodell getting it wrong, basically saying, I got it wrong. You know, he said, we didn't get it right with Ray Rice about a month ago, and immediately coming back with something much stronger, six games for the first offense of domestic violence, and then lifetime banishment for the second. That, to me, is a really big deal. And so the fact that it was a reaction, well, actually, I think it shows that they were listening and they care. It matters. People's voices were heard. I think a lot of sports fans and certainly a lot of people in the media should be pleased with that, because that doesn't happen very often, where they acknowledge they listened to us and they acted quickly.
I would like to see the other leagues step up, and I tweeted this yesterday, and do something similar. There has been great enactment, hockey specifically, with the You Can Play group and trying to get rid of things that the players say to each other. And you can't absolve players when they call each other slurs, and it's terrible. But these still, at the end of the day, are names and words. When what we're talking about is something so brutal and ugly and vicious and just absolutely amoral as what we all got to see Ray Rice do, charges or not. Can the other leagues jump on this early and get ahead of the game so they're not left in a position where they're reacting late as opposed to reacting early?
Well, they should. They absolutely should. I mean, they've been given now the roadmap, so to speak, on how to do this from the NFL and Roger Goodell. It's sitting right there now, and it goes on, and there are points and bullet points and more points, and it's right there, and it's holistic, and it's about the entire league and looking out for problems before they occur. And a cynic would say, oh, yeah, right, like that's going to happen. Well, okay, maybe, but right now there it is, and so let's go with what we know and what we've seen, and it's pretty impressive. You know, you mentioned something about words and bullying and, of course, slurs, and my sense is that the march of time is going to take care of a lot of this. Fans are, of course, younger every day. The older fans are going to be gone. You know, the 80-year-old fan is not going to be around very long. The 20-year-old fan will be. The 20-year-old fan, male, female, is much more open-minded, has grown up in a culture that is very different from the culture that his or her grandparents grew up in, or her parents, or his parents, and they just won't accept things. So I think the marketplace will take care of a lot of this. If racial slurs, homophobic slurs and actions continue in any of our leagues, you know, around North America, you know what? you're not going to be lasting very long because that fan base that has grown up in a very different world is just not going to tolerate it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we're seeing a lot of this, is this the sense that this is not your grandfather's NFL, this is not your grandmother's NHL, and you better get with the plan quickly because the demographics are changing dramatically.
Christine Brand, USA Today, joining us on Brady and Walker. And MLB especially, you know, people have written online about an extensive issue with players facing absolutely no scrutiny, not even a question, not even a phone call from the league office. This awful incident with Brett Myers, who pitched the day after he was arrested for punching his wife outside a Boston bar, and he started the game the next day. That was only 7 years ago. I mean, we got to evolve a bit quicker than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, we should. And sometimes the problem is the union, and certainly I'm not saying the owners are right on everything by any means, not at all, but these unions, because they're the ones who are defending the players, they have to get in the game here. It's labor issues. You know, I think we all understand the role of unions and representing people. I'm not so sure that zillionaires need unions, mm-hmm. but that's another story for another day. They exist. So if the union is fighting for a player, and understandably that knee-jerk reaction is, we're going to fight for that guy. You know, okay, we're going to defend him. If you step back and you see what you're defending, then it's time for the unions to get with the plan as well. And I think that's part of the issue. It certainly was with steroids. It was the baseball union. Donald Fehr, I think, will go down as one of the worst villains in this time in our sports history. And Bud Selig isn't going to be far behind, but at least Selig was trying to do some things. And Fehr and the players' union were blunting every attempt to have drug testing, not only to catch cheaters, but also for the health and welfare of these players. And so for their rank and file, Don Fehr did a terrible disservice by not getting drug testing sooner to get these drugs out of these players' systems. And now they're paying that huge price, Major League Baseball is. So the union's got to step up here big time.
I'd ask, is there at all a fine line here with a situation like this? Like I said, the Rice thing was so public and so ugly. I live in what I'd consider a pretty peaceful household, peaceful neighbors. Not everyone does. I used to have neighbors when I lived in college. It was a husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend. They'd argue all the time. It got loud. I don't know what else happened besides getting loud. We saw Paul Simon and Edie Brickell both get arrested a month ago. I mean, if there are no charges filed, how will a lawyer and how will that NFLPA union handle a player being sent off for six weeks when it may have simply been something that doesn't even approach the level of how disgusting Ray Rice's act was?
You know, Greg, you bring up a great point, and I think that's going to have to be determined by the authorities, by the lawyers, by everyone involved, the team, and figure out what it was. And that doesn't make it easy. I mean, there's going to be layers and layers of facts and counter arguments and all kinds of things moving forward. So it's a lot of, there's going to be a lot of red tape, good red tape, in the sense that you want to look into these things and investigate them. But my fallback on this always is it is a privilege, not a right, to be a professional athlete. It's a privilege to represent your country. The Hope Solo thing, U.S., goalkeeper,
yeah.
Women's soccer, and, of course, the big Women's World Cup is in Canada next year, huge event. And she's playing, and she's been charged with two misdemeanor counts of domestic violence against her family, and yet she's playing. I don't think she should be playing for the U.S. national team right now, especially in friendlies, and it's ridiculous. But anyway, so this is about women, too. But it's a privilege, and you're a role model. And you know what? If you don't like this kind of scrutiny as an athlete, as a hockey player, a football, baseball mm-hmm. player, mm-hmm. Soccer player, men's or women's, then go and sell insurance. You know, it's go and do something else. Go and work on construction. Go and run your own business, and get out of the limelight. I'm sorry. I'd be the Law and Order candidate if I were running for office. But I have no sympathy. You've chosen a career that's going to make you millions. You stepped out the sidewalk. You joined the parade, and you have to do. You have to be better. There's a higher standard, and you just have to deal with, because kids are watching you, and you're affecting the lives of our young people.
Christine, thanks so much for this, and have a great Labor Day weekend. We appreciate it.
Greg, my pleasure. Thank you.
There's Christine Brennan from USA Today. She's right. You know, we can love our athletes. You can paint your face. You can wear the jersey and go to games. The people that you like got to make better decisions. Ben Roethlisberger, got to make a better decision. Whether you did something legal or illegal, the NFL is now going to say, you got to make a better decision. We're going to judge you you are probably guilty before proven innocent. It's not a court of law. They don't have to treat you that way. You got a standard to uphold. Mike Johnson at 8:22, Hulk Hogan at 8:42.
The Jeff Blair Show with special guest host Joey Vendetta this morning at 9. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Oh!
23. It's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady and George Russick. Joey Vendetta, by the way, will be on at 9 with David Clarkson on at 9 o'clock, which should have some intrigue to it, I would think, as David Clarkson will indeed join him at 9. LeSean McCoy from the Philadelphia Eagles on as well. Hulk Hogan on at 8:40. We're very pleased to welcome in our next guest. He's one of the newest additions, spelled with an A. Now, I mean, the release spelled it with an A, but some people don't. Newest additions to the Sportsnet hockey lineup. Unbelievable. 5 weeks from Wednesday night, it all kicks off. Canadians, Leafs, Canucks, Flames, and then hockey nonstop. He played 661 games in the NHL. His Hockey DB page claims that. We'll ask him if it's true. Mike Johnson joins us on Brady and Walker. It's great to have you aboard. How's everything going?
Everything's going well. How are you doing?
Really good. That's accurate, right? I've got your entire resume. Even those games with the Cologne Sharks, those actually happened, didn't they?
As much as I want to try to erase those, those actually did transpire my brief stint in Cologne, correct. And if it says 661, then I guess that's probably right.
Did you know any teammates? I'm seeing Todd Warner, who does the Spitz TV games now and works down there with Warren Reichel, Bob Bugner. Did you know any other players when you went over to Germany to play?
No. Todd Warner was one of the main reasons I went there. We had played together in Toronto and Tampa and Phoenix. And he had been there for a couple of years and had liked it, so he kind of talked me into it. Something that I still hold against them quite strongly. And Dave McElwain, longtime NHLer,
sure,
Maple Leaf as well, was the captain over there. He'd been in Germany for about a decade. So those were the two NHL guys that had been on the team.
So Mike Johnson's joining us. You were at the one place, and now you're at this place. How did this all come about? Was it exciting to be for them to be interested to get you the right scenario? You've traveled a lot in the last 4 or 5 years doing game coverage. What will you be doing this year?
I will be doing a lot of what I've done in the past. I'll be certainly calling games and traveling around and being in the rinks and doing that. And then I'll also, when I'm not doing that, I'll make my way down there and down to the studio and continue to do some studio stuff as well. And it was very exciting. You know, I like being around the game. I like calling games. I like being around the playoffs. I like being involved at the national level. And at Rogers and Sportsnet's where it's at right now. So I was very excited to have the opportunity to come and continue what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's great. You've done a lot of Western Conference games, too. Often it's been that second doubleheader. So you've gotten to see the really, I guess, outside of Boston. If we say there's five really elite franchises right now, we could certainly say that four of the five are in the West. Chicago and L.A. keep winning, multiple cups. Do you view the West versus East thing as anything significant? The West players are able to keep their free agents. The California teams are very attractive to pending UFAs. Why do you think there's been such a disparity talent-wise and result-wise, Mike?
I think it's just the cyclical nature of the game. I don't think guys are drawn to play in the West. In fact, playing in the West is harder for a lot of reasons. One, there's a lot of good teams out there. Two, the travel, having played in Phoenix for several years, is so much worse and taxing over the course of a year as opposed to playing somewhere on the East Coast. So, you know, I don't know if there's a real lure other than maybe some nice weather in the Southwest, but I think it's just the teams there have drafted well, developed well, and when teams get good players, whether they're in the East or the West, they don't let them go anywhere, and the teams just out there are being run really well. But there is no question, it is so much better and so much deeper than the Eastern Conference right now. It's really, it's hard to even compare the two.
Yeah, my thought would be players that can pick and choose, the really elite players, the guys that go to All-Star games, the guys that go to Olympics. If you start out West as a young guy, I think that's got to be great, driving to the rink in your shorts and you're out there and you got a beach house. But then later on, I mean, Brendan Shanahan once said he went back to the Rangers in New Jersey, and like he's young family, had young kids, and he'd sleep in his own bed maybe He could sleep in his own bed after road games against the Rangers and the Devils and the Flyers when he played for New York, whereas he's on 10, 11-day road trips with the Red Wings out west. It was a totally different world for him.
It's a drastically different experience. I went to Montreal from Phoenix, and you're exactly right. You're back in your own city at 12:30 or 1 in the morning, and you're back in your own house. I had kids then, and you can be there and wake up and feel normal the next day with them. So it is what you know, but having dealt with both, mm-hmm. lifestyle-wise, especially as you get a little bit older, the East is very accommodating.
Yeah, the idea, I mean, people our age don't even like being out of the house, period, two nights in a row. It's just, it feels like back-to-back NBA games or something. You don't like to have it happen.
No. That's a good place to be as often as you can.
It felt like a summer of inactivity. Mike Johnson joins us on Braden Walker. It felt like a summer of inactivity. Maybe we overdo it, and it's the way the media world is now, but we all think, oh, this team is disappointed. They're going to blow it up, and Winnipeg will trade Evander Kane. They have to. The Leafs will make big moves. Even San Jose held on to every single player with the exception of Dan Boyle and didn't change the coach. Were you surprised there was less activity this summer than you might have expected among all the teams that might have been disappointed last spring?
I guess I didn't expect there to be quite as much. Now, I know in the fallout at the end of a year, whether you're San Jose and bail out of the first round again, whether you're Winnipeg and are disappointed, it's easy to see right after the season ends, we got to make wholesale changes. We got to turn the roster over. We got to fire coaches, GMs, you name it. Mm. But once these things settle down a little bit, you get a little perspective, you one, realize how difficult it is to do those things. Because it's not easy to move players and get good value back. It's not easy to move salary in a summer where, although the salary cap's gone up a little bit, so many teams are so close to it, just keeping their own guys around, let alone trading someone who's got a cap hit of $5, $6, $7, $8 million, whatever it might be. So it's harder to do than you think, and sometimes change for change's sake is appropriate, but more often than not, unless you have a better option coming in, it's not going to be. And are you going to get a better coach than Todd McClellan out in San Jose? There's not that many kicking around that are better than him. So all those things factor into it, that things are generally a little bit more stable than the fantasy hockey players and pundits that we like to be would like.
Mike Johnson's our guest, new Sportsnet analyst. Of course, hockey gets going 5 weeks from Wednesday night with an NHL on Sportsnet doubleheader. And with what the look the Sharks had last week, a lot of people said, this is unusual that Doug Wilson, Todd McClellan did this. They take the captaincy from Joe Thornton. They'd taken it from Patrick Marleau and gave it to Joe Thornton a few years previous. And then suddenly it's like open tryouts. Some people don't like the look of that. It's one thing if they just said, hey, we're going to take it off Joe's back and right away give it to Logan Couture, give it to Mark Edward Vlasic. If you were a player on the Sharks, would you be a bit quizzical that this has happened this way going to camp this fall?
If I was just a regular player, it'd almost be more comical, because you can take the letters off the guys' jerseys, but the leadership group, the guys that everyone looks to, including Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau, are going to be the same, whether they have the C or not. If you're Joe or Patrick or a guy that is taken off them, though, that matters. That's going to sting a little bit. But I don't think that the reason they've not had success has been Joe Thornton's problem. I don't think Joe Thornton's a bad leader. I think he's done a really good job out there. That's been a really good team that he's been the captain of for a few years now. So, and you look at his performances in the playoffs, and he's been just fine. So I would kind of shake my head and smile about it if you're just on the team. But what happens if Joe Thornton goes out, lights up training camp, he's vocal in the dressing room? Are you going to slap the C back on him? That's the stuff where you kind of shake your head and go, in what direction are we going here? Why are you making these decisions? Or is it just for the shock value of saying, we took it off Joe, so everyone's got to be on watch.
Yeah. Mike Johnson, one last thing on the Leafs. Speaking of open tryouts, that's what it looks like. They didn't change much. Top six forwards, top four D, sort of the same. Little tweak on D, but it looks very much. Mason Raymond came in last year, got the one-year deal, and then played his ass off. They've got a lot of guys in for 1 year. Santarelli, Winnick, Booth. They've got a lot of guys they're bringing in, even Bodie returning, who look like bottom-end guys. You've seen a lot of Leafs games where the fourth line was Orr and McLaren and McClement, and they'd play 4 minutes a night, and it was clear by the end of the game the Leafs needed more from that group, more ice time and more effective possession. What do you think? Do you think they have a new philosophy with the same coach with what they're going to do with their bottom six?
Well, they better, because I think they showed over the course of the year you can't play guys, even elite players, even players as good as Phil Kessel, James Van Riemsdyk, they can't play 23, 24 minutes a night. It's just too hard on guys. They're going to have dips in their performance because of those minutes. So you need a fourth line, and tons of respect for guys that fight, guys that play physical, two things that I didn't always do in my career, certainly. But you have to have players that you can play. They got to play 7, 8, 10 minutes, 5-on-5. They have to drive a little bit of possession. You don't have to hide them all the time and only look for a matchup with other teams. Tough guys are out there, and that's how you're going to have success in the NHL, and that's what they have. It seems about 7 or 8 different pieces to fill those 6 spots, including Orr, McLaren, and guys like that. But I think Randy Carlyle would recognize that he's got to offer those bottom-end guys a larger role, more extended minutes, and he's got to find the combinations that could be successful in those roles for the Leafs to be able to sustain a higher level throughout the whole season.
Mike Johnson, our guest, new ad to Sportsnet. Great to have you aboard. We'll be seeing and hearing lots of you. We really appreciate the time and congratulations.
All right, thanks a lot, and I'll see you at the office soon.
You bet. Mike Johnson joining us. He can also, he's more than welcome to play road hockey to conquer cancer. There's no problem with bringing a ringer in like Mike for those. I know Sid Sixero's a hell of a blue liner. Like, he's off the glass high and out, but we need offensive punch.
You're clearly a drop-the-gloves guy at the road hockey to conquer cancer thing, are you?
Well,
you got to win. You got to win, Brady. You got to win.
We'll take the 660 games of experience. Mike Johnson joined. That was great. He just stepped in and was... I don't even think we had to give anybody up. This wasn't like giving up Syndergaard and Darno. We got the best guy, period. We didn't have to give up anything. So it's at the Ball Yard tonight. Burley, Capuano, 7:07 start. Yankees, Blue Jays, right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. 8:35, he had his legion of Hulkamaniacs for years and years and years. He's at the Fan Expo this weekend. Hulk Hogan joins Brady and Walker next.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, you know, Tim Tebow looks like my shadow at high noon, brother. You know, at the end of the day, my arms are bigger than his legs. I can make his back crack, his knees freeze, or his liver quiver just by pointing at him, brother. You gotta take
the stand. I love Hulk Hogan, and Greg Brady were the biggest critics of Tim Tebow. Man, where are all the people? They used to permeate this office. They used to have microphones in front of them saying he was a... established himself as an NFL core. Oh, you could do a little bit better. You know, Brady and Manning, sure, but Tim Tebow's a winner. Now no one will touch him with a 10-foot pole. By the way, we found out yesterday, of course, Josh Gordon with his year-long NFL suspension. There were two little nuggets that came out. One was that he was potentially going to look into playing in the CFL. And then obviously the rule, and I guess you'd call it the Ricky Williams rule, is you're not, until you serve your suspension, you're not allowed to play in the CFL while serving a drug or domestic violence suspension. It'd just be a bad. This guy needs to disassociate himself of some bad people in his life. He needs to make better decisions, and you're not doing that if you just climb up, come above the 49th parallel, and then jump on the football field middle of a season.
Greg, I love the high morality standards the NFL obviously has. You can't have a guy failing a drug test, you know, playing the CFL, but a guy, as we talked earlier, beats up his girlfriend, gets 2 games, that's okay. You have an owner who had $30,000 worth of prescription pills in a suitcase and a duffel bag full of cash. Yeah, that's okay. We'll just wait till the trial. We'll let that slide. But you can't play in the CFL, Josh Gordon.
So here's the difficult part. Let's say in this new NFL rule, let's say you have what I would describe as a Kobe Bryant situation. Okay. Now, what I mean by that is, charges are filed, an incredibly serious sexual assault case, and an incredibly serious allegation. There is an element of immorality to it. He's a married man, and there's a 19-year-old hotel employee involved. it was, again, we can guess at what may have happened, but and that the accusation very much tarnished his reputation. But do you let justice play out, or do you say you are an employee of our league, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you did something, right. We are suspending you regardless of the pending outcome of this case? Because it's easy to look at Ray Rice. We all can jump in on this Ray Rice thing and say, it's disgusting, I watched it, I know about it. And the one big factor is as well, George, is that they should not have let his wife, they let his wife into the boardroom to basically beg for a lenient suspension. Right. You can't do that in cases of accused sexual assault or domestic violence or rape. You cannot do that at that point in time. But whether those charges filed or not, she should not have been allowed to have an opinion on this.
At the same token, Greg, if somebody's in regular life at their regular job and they're accused of something and during this process of going to court, do people necessarily lose their job or get suspended if they've done some behavior that maybe doesn't adhere to you know, the morality standard of the company? But until they're found guilty, don't they have that benefit of the doubt?
I know.
Until it's a court of law. So why does NFL...
But it's not a court of law. It's you. If you are an employee, I get the, and I think if you're a public figure, I get the guilt before innocence. I think there's a different standard than, you know, Fred in sales, you know, or Steve in accounting.
Right.
I do think you gotta own up to more early on.
But if you're like the NFL, you haven't made up your mind. That's all I'm saying. You have all these instances where you just don't know what's suspendable, and you still have an owner out there who did grab a DUI, Greg. We're waiting to hear on his suspension as well. And if that's a player who did what Jim Irsay did, he would have been suspended by now 1,000%.
Should the players not be held to a different standard than the owners? They're the ones the people are coming to see. They're the ones that cheer for.
But it's a double standard, though.
You have to hold them both. I'm not saying let them go scot-free.
Right.
But you have to hold them to the same standards.
But he's still representing the league, and how is he supposed to be a quote-unquote role model for his players as well? If you want his players to fly straight and narrow, how is the owner not doing the same thing, and how do you expect his players to do the same?
But I guess what I'm fascinated by is let's take Ben Roethlisberger, who again, there's something I suppose similar to Kobe Bryant in that there were charges from this Milledgeville, Georgia incident in a public place in a women's restroom in a nightclub with a 20-year-old student. Now, again, if this is a consensual relationship, a 31-year-old quarterback is allowed to date a 20 consenting adults.
Right.
But if it's not, and if you've got the air that it isn't, I understand the league stepping in and say you still have to. There is a onus on you to be a respectful employee and a respectful person. But yet we had a college football national championship with a guy accused of raping another student, and he was able to play in the game. The school didn't even say we're gonna let you sit because it might be a bit of a distraction here, because he was their best player and he was their most important player.
That whole situation is laughable for me for the standpoint of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They released a guy like Santonio Holmes who got a DUI, and all of a sudden, we have this high morality of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We can't have a guy like Santonio Holmes playing our team. We'll release him. But heaven forbid, Ben Roethlisberger gets accused of rape, doesn't get charged. But he's a quarterback. He can win us a Super Bowl. We can't let him go.
No, I know, but you can understand it. Look, I would make the point, not everybody can be Peyton Manning. Not everybody can be Tom Brady and be this impenetrable person live by. You'd be shocked. Take even LeBron James. As many shots as people want to take at LeBron James, wouldn't you be shocked? Beyond belief, if you saw a story about LeBron James getting in trouble, or he got a DUI, or he just is too smart. He is way too smart and lives his life a certain way. There's a guy who didn't grow up with a dad, which goes, again, I'm a big, two parents are better than one. But there's LeBron James, you know, being very, very out there and being a great model for the NBA. I was thinking, when's the last time any NBA player got in as much trouble as Ray Rice just did? The last time we had a guy, Gilbert Arenas is the most high profile scenario, and he brought guns to where he shouldn't have brought guns, but he didn't use them, and he didn't assault anybody, and he didn't smash into anybody with a car. But in the NFL, it's a totally different. You got guys who run over people in cars, and they're playing a year later.
But isn't that the attitude of the NFL as a whole as well?
And it's
holier
a problem.
Than thou right now, that they're such a gigantic organization in the league. They can feel and do whatever they want because the money, they have a license to print money, and they're so powerful and they're so big.
But you do and you don't. And they could have. This Ray Rice thing almost had, I was going to say the controversy almost sort of was over. Like the window had passed for people to to be, I mean, we live in an era of fake outrage where everything is, you know, the worst thing imaginable. And yet the Rice thing was so real. We all looked at what happened and said, this is wrong. And the window kind of passed where you expected the NFL to do anything else about it. I'd love to see, again, the NHL step in. The NHL is going to suspend James Wisniewski for making a like the oral sex motion at Sean Avery. And at the same time, they've never suspended anyone for a racial slur. They never, and these things happen. They've never suspended somebody for calling someone, you know, a homosexual slur. That's in the plans to do, but good luck getting it through. Good luck making that happen. So I'd love to see the NHL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball step up and say, we're going to follow the NFL's lead here, and we feel the same way about it. And yeah, I understand at the same time, being innocent till proven guilty in the courts. But to reiterate, if you're a public figure, I'm not sure you get. We don't do that with politicians. The second a politician's accused of something, we're in there thinking that he or she did it.
Did we not hear enough from the Ravens players themselves and all this?
Not at all. Of course,
condoning him, saying, you know what, Ray, we don't support you. This is a well. Hopefully, he can fly. We didn't hear anything from them. Nothing from the Ravens. And I understand they have, as an organization, they have this bad boy attitude, and Harbaugh loves when they fight in practice. And this is a badass organization. But again, Greg, we don't hear from any of those leaders on that team. Nobody comes out and says that Ray made a terrible mistake and he'll have to regain our trust. Something along the lines of something that condones his act. But we didn't hear anything from that from any Ravens players.
And I also want there to be teachable moments. I want, you know, everyone. Riley Cooper drops the N-bomb at this concert and he's videotaped.
Right.
And it's bad. And he shouldn't say it. And of course he's stupid for saying it. Can he learn from it? I hope so. And maybe he has. Everyone out there said, cut him. Can't have a guy like that here. The black players, they won't tolerate it. Yeah. Well, they seem to. You know, Joey's going to have LeSean McCoy on in just a little bit after 10 o'clock, Philadelphia Eagles teammate. He seems to have fit back in. You can learn from the words you say. I don't use the same words I used 10 years ago to describe stuff. I don't use the same words as 20 years ago to describe stuff. Let me give you an example. Letterman used to have Richard Simmons on, right? Richard Simmons would run around in his oiled legs and short shorts, and Letterman would just basically make fun of him. Why? Because he used to be fat, and now he's thin, and he's so flamboyant about it. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't do that now in 2014. But I laughed at it in 1988, right?
Sure.
I laughed. You couldn't make a movie with Long Duck Dong in it, right? And if you remade 16 Candles, you have to change that character because people would be like, Asian stereotypes. Yet I know Asian people, the guy that played him, Getty Watanabe, thinks that's the funniest thing imaginable and still does. We had we had the guy from The Hangover Ken Jeong and he thinks that's still very funny. It's a caricature at the end of the day. Joey Vendetta's in. It's the Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair show at 9 o'clock. David Clarkson, as we mentioned, LeSean McCoy on after 10. And we're covering a lot of ground here. You want to weigh in?
You're all over the map. Garcia will be on the show. Ty Domi, Tim Bezbachenko, George St. Pierre.
Can't beat that.
Why don't you get some guests, Joey?
Slow show. Couple of things in what you're talking about. First off, the NFL, Roger Goodell, did come out yesterday saying he didn't get it right with Ray Rice.
Yeah, and good
when
for
does
him.
Roger Goodell say he didn't get something right, first and foremost? So they made a mistake in the way they handled Ray Rice. You know, Josh Gordon getting suspended for the entire season is in line with what the NFL does. And when you said, you know, the last time a player got in trouble, look, you can go down the police blotter list in this offseason with the NFL. John Abraham.
Yeah.
Right? Sean Smith. You can go Greg Hardy, Josh Morgan. I mean, it goes on and on.
But not in the NBA, right?
Not in the NBA.
No, I can't think of a guy in the last decade that's gotten in as much of a public controversy as Ray Rice has.
Baseball? Baseball, Greg, too.
Well, Kobe.
What baseball players are you hearing, too?
Kobe.
But Kobe's 11 years ago.
Yeah,
so you're over a decade now.
Yeah. But and Kobe's rehabilitated his image. Kobe, listen, when that happened with Kobe, he was persona non grata. His wife left him. He had to buy her a $3 million rock, right?
Yeah.
He got a bunch of Jesus tattoos on his arms. And it took him about 5 or 6 years. But he got his sponsors back, and he's got as many endorsements as he's ever had.
Think who survived their controversy better, Kobe Bryant or Tiger Woods. And yet Kobe Bryant was accused of doing something violent and illegal and non-consensual. And Tiger Woods had a bad marriage
and ran around
like a maniac on his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not condoning it, but he's in a bad marriage. That's all consensual. He wasn't accused of doing anything illegal or assaulting anybody.
No, he committed adultery. and hung out with some shady women, something that a lot of guys listening to this show have done, and then some guys who host this show have
right
done.
Right up your alley.
Then again, some
well,
of the guys...
Well, that's enough about Jeff Blair, really. Don't impugn his name like that.
Some of those guys aren't married, though.
So David Clarkson out of the gate. Like we said, it'll be exciting to hear LeSean McCoy. Maybe the best running back in the game, all-purpose.
Actually, like, no, not that. Like Mike Peterson. Wilner out of the gate. So we'll talk preview. You were talking about Derek Jeter and what kind of gift he's going to get. I think he gets steak knives.
Again, you can't go soapstone carving. You just gave that.
You give
Mariano
him steak
Rivera.
Knives with soapstone handles.
Yes. Soap and steak, perhaps.
You drop the tomato down and it cuts soap. In half steak knives.
Don't drop the soap, though.
Soap on a rope, ladies. 8:54. Have a great weekend. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair next. Then it's Baseball Central. Enjoy the holiday.